Come on, God is faithful. Let me say that again. God is faithful. He's worthy of our praise. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. We started talking a couple weeks ago, and the Holy Spirit kind of interrupted us the first Sunday, which is great. And we started talking about the blood of Jesus. There is no more important subject in the Bible than the blood of Jesus. There's no subject in the Bible, and especially when the Bible gets into your heart and comes out of your mouth, that is more feared by the devil than you knowing what the blood of Jesus purchased for you. So again, I had a situation years ago where this lady said, "Why do you make such a big deal of the blood, about the blood? You know, well, oh gosh, why do you make a big deal out of the blood?" And this just rose up inside of me. You know, the Spirit of God just rose up inside of me. And I said, because there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, we're hopelessly lost and forever will be in condemnation. But He came. He died. He was raised from the dead. And His blood is working in us and through us in Jesus' name. Woo! Hallelujah. The precious blood of Jesus. We're going to read a couple scriptures that we read last week and go over a couple things and then get into new things today. But look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Back in verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. I like another translation of this. It said, with a true assurance of God's faithfulness. Well, let me say that again. A true assurance. I mean, we know that we know that we know that we know that we know without a shadow of a doubt, without any witness of circumstances, we know that God is faithful. And in His faithfulness, because He declared that the blood was enough, look at this, it's cleansed us, washed us white as snow. We're going to see that even further today. But it's also freed us from the conscience of our past. What does that mean? That all of those thoughts that come to you and condemn you from your past and from things that you've already asked God for forgiveness for are a lie. And it's the enemy trying to keep you out of the very benefit that the blood brings to you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore... therefore, right now, there is therefore now no. That means zip, zilch, nada, not an iota of condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And I'll just add, covered by the blood. There's none. There's zip, zilch. So what does that mean? When your thoughts come bombarding against you, or maybe even some of your friendly relatives, and remind you of what a scoundrel you were at one time, you have to fight that in your mind and say, no, wait a minute. I'm not denying that that's what I did and that's who I am. But I'm telling you that when I became born again and washed in the blood, I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And that old person is no longer me. That's a lot better than you have responded. It's no longer me, right? Come on. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then let's go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Hallelujah. His blood. His blood. There's something about His blood. and speaking about it, singing about it, that moves heaven and earth. Glory to God. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, it says, being justified freely by His grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because His forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. And again, we said that that propitiation was an appeasement, or it was a conciliation of favor with the one who was offended. What does that mean? Sin kept us away from God, but the blood of Jesus took that offense out of the way.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let me say that again. God is no longer your enemy. You don't have to come to God as one who doesn't belong, because everything that was against you has been taken away. And the thing that took it away was Jesus taking your place. The blood of Jesus. Propitiation by His blood. Appeasement by His blood. It's no longer there. It's no longer there. And another verse, it says that the blood of Jesus, and Jesus said this when He said Last Supper, He said, this is a new covenant in My blood, which is for the remission of your sins. And that remission means it's gone. It's completely gone. I'm not going to go into the whole story again, but you can get it from last week. But I just want to bring up Dylan one more time. Everybody remember Dylan?
Yep.
Dylan had leukemia, and they went through all the stuff to get rid of it, and spent about a year and a half, 2 years going through that whole process. And they were a week away from them ringing the bell saying that he's completely free. And they detected more cells of cancer in his body. And they said, well, we've done all that we can do. What he needs now is a blood marrow transplant. Right? And so we need to find a match. And two of his brothers, and they were young boys, were matches. So Gavin became the donor to Devin of the bone marrow. The night that Devin was going to be wheeled in for that to happen, they had him in isolation, and they hung this vial or bag of Gavin's blood up on the hook. And the doctor said, well, that's precious blood right there. That's clean blood. That's blood that's not tainted with anything, because we've taken it, we filtered it, it's got his bone marrow in it. But then the doctor came in to Gavin before it Dylan before it was administered. And he said, now Dylan, she said, Dylan, I want you to know that we're going to say goodbye to you. And Dylan goes, huh? You're going to say goodbye to me? Yes, because when you receive Gavin's bone marrow, your DNA is going to change. So it's not any longer going to be who you were, but you're going to have a completely different experience going forward. And Gavin is going to be a part of who you are. In fact, this is really funny, in fact, you got to be careful with Gavin that he doesn't get into trouble, because if he got in trouble and left his DNA, you could be charged for the crime. Right? So listen to this. His blood changed everything about Dylan. He liked different things. What he didn't like before, he now liked everything that Gavin liked. They became twins because their likes were, you know, assimilated. But watch this. When we were born again, we entered into a proposition with the blood by faith. By faith. That's our assurance or absolute confidence that what God promised is true. That when Jesus' blood went before the throne of God and was deemed absolutely precious or righteous, and I, by faith, received that finished work, my DNA changed. changed. My whole being changed. I don't have to think the same way I thought. The Bible says that I have the mind of Christ. Why? Because I had a blood transfusion. I'm no longer the angry person that I was before because the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart because I had a blood transfusion. I am no longer a worrier that is filled with dread because His peace, because of His blood, has come to me. And I can let the peace of God rule as an umpire in my heart because I had a blood transfusion. His blood is flowing in my veins. My spirit is alive with the life of God. Jesus said, whoever believes on me will gain or have eternal life. I'm not waiting to get eternal life. I have it right now because back in 1977, August, I said a prayer that let Jesus come into my heart and I was forever changed. So what am I saying this morning? We need to start letting the precious blood of Jesus speak over us, speak to us, and then speak through us. Watch this. And the whole series is talking pleading the blood. And in pleading the blood, what we're saying is whenever there's condemnation or circumstances that we're facing, like in a court of law, we're saying, oh, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood. I plead the devil, you say you're going to take me over. I want to tell you something. I'm pleading the blood right now in Jesus' name because the blood of Jesus has paid for my deliverance. The blood of Jesus, He hung on the cross, and with the authority that He turned over to me, I now have authority over you. So in the name of Jesus, glory to God. Glory. I could get sidetracked. Really easy. But go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to go to verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Now listen to this. And let this sink into you for just a minute. Just think about this. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Don't just read this and go, yeah, that's nice, that's in the Bible. Make this personal. Own this. This is you. This is me. Knowing that I was not redeemed, bought back, price purchased for my redemption. I was not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold or your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers. In other words, it's nothing that I did. It's nothing that I could do. No matter how the traditions of my life were good things by good people, that didn't do it. But with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb of God, without blemish or without spot. Verse 20, do you have that down? No, they don't. All right, let me find it. He indeed was foreordained from the foundation of the world to be, but was manifest in these last times for you. For though through him we believe in God who raised Jesus from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope are in God. In other words, because of the precious blood of Jesus, everything else in our life is built upon that. Everything else. I am a child of the Most High God with access to the kingdom of God and the throne of God because I'm covered in the blood. I'm covered in the blood. Go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Hallelujah. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses us from all sin. The typology in the Old Testament law and all the sacrificial system are amazing, but there was one portion where they took the blood and they sprinkled on a scapegoat. And that scapegoat they took out to the countryside, and they let the scapegoat signify that the sacrifice was accepted and that blood was accepted, and all the sins were contained in that blood are now gone. That was the old covenant. We have a better covenant on better promises. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. That's awesome. I love to be forgiven, but I like even more to be cleansed. Because cleansed means my clothes are no more dirty. That I'm no longer under the condemnation of the things that I was guilty of, because he took that condemnation. By his blood, I'm cleansed. All right. Go to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Revelation 1, 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I'm clean. I'm clean. He's the firstborn from the dead, but that same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in your mortal body. What does that mean? Where you are right now, where you're sitting right now, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, if he is truly your Lord, then his blood has cleansed you from your sin. If you were to stand before God right now and he would show you a picture of who you are you listening to me? You would be clothed in glorious raiment that would absolutely astound you. Because your perception might be, well, I'm just an old beggar saved by grace, and if I get to into heaven, I'm just going to be, you know, on the backside of an old cabin somewhere, and I'll probably have tattered clothes that are ripped and maybe out of, you know, the burlap sack from the beans or whatever. But no, 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 no. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, his blood cleansed you. And you are not just cleansed, but you are adorned with his precious blood. So when we sing, what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But I have it. I said, I have it. I'm washed. I'm cleansed. Okay, go back to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11. But Christ came as a high priest over the good things that came with greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, of this creation. In other words, he's talking about the tabernacle in heaven. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Thank you, Lord. We're in him, we have eternal redemption. What does that mean? That's where we were redeemed before, from the standpoint that it was available to us. We entered redemption when we said, yes, Lord, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah and I'm taking him as my Lord and Savior. I entered into redemption, but that same redemption is with me today. It'll be with me tomorrow. When I pass from this life, it's going to be with me. And Paul said it this way, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Why? Because I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Watch this now. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifer sprinkling of the unclean sanctifies the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot, cleanse your conscience from dead works? Do you have a thought problem? Apply the blood. Apply the blood. Apply the blood. The Lord spoke this to me this morning, and I think it fits right here. Reading about something in the Word of God will renew your mind to the fact that that's true. But speaking that from your heart will establish it in your life. What am I saying? Just thinking it, having the thoughts, is not enough. You need to let it come out of your mouth and begin to speak it for yourself. And don't let anybody else speak it for you, because that's secondhand witness. That's hearsay. But when you are convinced in your heart that the blood of Jesus is for you, and that it was shed for you, and it can be applied to you, and that you can stand in the absolute security of that, you said, no, devil, listen to me. Mr. Devil, I'm telling you right now, in the name of Jesus, I refuse that condemnation. I refuse that fear. I refuse that worry. I refuse that grief. I refuse all of those things, because I've been established in the blood of Jesus. I'm pleading my case based on the blood. It's a precedent. I'm cleansed. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on the earth are the things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet he is now reconciled. And you're precious in his sight. So the blood doesn't just cleanses us, it pacifies all of the judgment that was due to you because of sin, either your sin or going way back to the sin of Adam.
Yes, amen.
It's been pacified. In other words, it no longer applies. God doesn't look at it anymore. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10, watch this. Verse 12, Hebrews 10, 12. Says, but this man, talking about Jesus, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down at the right hand of God. And from that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool, for by one offering he has perfected those who are being sanctified.
Thank you, Lord.
By his sacrifice, by his blood, we're not just, watch this, we've been perfected. I know you and I, and I know, you know, most of you, I know, and I know that you're not quite perfect. Almost, there's a couple of things that could probably be worked on, right? But you see, when I look at you through these eyes. But when God looks at you, he looks at you through the blood of Jesus. And through the blood of Jesus, you've already been perfected. Perfecto, right? Perfecto. That's a work of art right there. Perfecto. And you've been sanctified. What does sanctified mean? It means set apart. It means that you're holy. It means that you're acceptable for the use in his kingdom. How could I pray for somebody and cast out devils out of anybody? Because I've been sanctified. I've been made holy by his blood. I'm no longer who I was in my own capacity. I'm now filled with the capacity of God because His blood was shed for me. Right? Watch this. But we need the words coming out of our mouth. I plead the blood of Jesus. I sing about the blood. Talk about the blood. And make it personal. The blood. Andre Crouch had a song years ago. But the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It'll never, ever, ever lose its power. Because it reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valleys. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It'll never, ever, 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 ever lose its power. The only way it loses its power, if we let the enemy talk us out of its power. And this morning, what I'm saying to you, it's time to shut him up and us speak. So it's pacifying power. Go to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43. And we're going to look at verse 25. Listen to this. This is God speaking. I, who blots out your transgression for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us consider together. State your case that you may be acquitted. In the King James, that word contend together or is plead. Or state your case. Plead your case. Plead your case. Why can I stand before God? Because of the blood of Jesus. Why can I expect that my prayers can be answered? Because I'm standing in the blood of Jesus. How can I absolutely have the arrogance to think that I am a sanctified Christian made right with God? Because of the blood of Jesus. I'm pleading my case right now in Jesus' name. How can I come boldly before the throne of grace? How can I say, Hosanna, and expect that heaven would hear that? It's because of the blood of Jesus. It's because of the blood of Jesus. It's sanctifying. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. I got a few more verses. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, who you were once far off, have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. See, there was a time in my life where I was raised religiously and knew stories about Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. But when I got born again, it came from a outer witness to an inner witness. And I'm not far off anymore. You know, the saying, and I understand it, the people who may be backslidden and haven't walked with God for a while, and they've gone out and done their own thing, and they say, man, I got to get back to God. Well, just turn around. Just turn around. You don't have to crawl in the gravel. You don't have to, you know, go to some place or go to have some priest put his hands on you or bless you. All you have to do is turn around, be assured of what the blood purchased for you, and stand in that and say, Father, just as I am, I'm coming. I'm messed up. I'm like that prodigal son. I know all of that, but I'm no longer the prodigal son because you said that I was accepted in your family. You said the blood was enough. You said that I could come back. You said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. So by faith, my assurance of your faithfulness and your absolute commitment to your word, Lord, I believe that I'm right with you because of the blood. Because he who knew no sin became a sacrifice for me. His blood was shed for me that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because I've had a blood transfusion. My DNA is not the same. Are you with me? Come on. So it's a reconciling blood. And then go to Revelation chapter 12. I like this. Revelation chapter 12. You all know this verse. And they overcame. And this is talking about the martyrs, really, in the context. This is the martyrs that go through the tribulation, and they're killed, beheaded for Jesus, because they won't take the mark of the beast. Listen to this. But they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not even love their lives to the death. The way that we operate in the blood of Jesus, in the covenant of Jesus, is that we die to ourselves. We die to our feelings. We die to our desires. We die to all of those things, and we say, Lord, I am now living for your desires. I'm now living for your character. God, I'm living for your purpose. I'm living for your pursuit. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What was their testimony? I was lost, but now I'm found. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and by His precious blood, I've been made right with God. And I refuse to put anything in lordship over Jesus. Even if you come in here today with submachine guns and say, all of you in here, stand in the front. Either deny Jesus or we're going to kill you. In the words of the prophet, make my day. Right? Make my day. Why? Because the blood of Jesus assures me that this here is not the end of things. But they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and, not exclusively, but and the word of their testimony. The same is true for us. It's the word of our testimony. One more verse and then we'll close. Go to Revelation 5 and verse 9. Listen to this. This is so good. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals. You were slain, and you redeemed to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. That's you. Come on, that's me. That's the way we can sit in a room like this, or actually we're part of a church that's worldwide right now, right? And different places they're worshiping God, but we're all the same. And the song that we sing, that Jesus, you're worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. You were slain and you've redeemed us to God by your blood. I'm praying that after today, that the condemnation that you sit in, that you rehearse, will be wiped out. I'm not saying we don't take responsibility for our actions, but if you're sitting in condemnation over the things that you did or didn't do 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever, if you've asked Jesus to forgive you, you shouldn't be living under the condemnation of that right now. Because, watch this, because it's not allowing your gifting to come through as God would have it to come through. Because you're living under your condemnation, you're going, well, God can't use me. There's people who need you as a blood-bought citizen of heaven to take your place in confidence and in boldness because of who He is and what He's done. The blood will embolden us to be a witness for Him no matter what the circumstances are. I'm washed in the blood. I'm cleansed by the blood. I'm healed by the blood. Come on. I am free from the blood. One more story and then I'll quit. I was telling Anita this earlier. Many of you will know this name, some of you won't. But there was a great man of God. His name was Lester Summerall. And if you ever saw Lester Summerall, he was kind of a curmudgeon-y old, I mean, he was just a bold fellow. And he talked bold, everything. But years and years and years ago, he was a missionary to the Philippines. And in the Philippines, there's all kinds of witchcraft and different things that go on. And one of the things that's pretty common in the Philippines for poor girls is they enter into prostitution because it's the only way they can survive. So he got a call. He had established a church there. And he got a call to come down to the jail because there was this little Filipino girl, you know, in her teens, that was demon-possessed. And not with just one or two, but lots of demons. All of the jailers were terrified of her because this little 90-pound girl, they went into the cell and she'd beat them up. She'd tear, rip their clothes, do everything, and they couldn't handle her at all. And so finally the magistrate or whoever said, call that Holy Ghost preacher over here. Maybe he can do something. So Lester Summerall came and said, I'll be happy to do that. He said, But I want you all out of here. Get out. Get out. Yeah, but don't you understand? We need the guards to protect you. Get out. I don't need you here. And he went into the cell with her. And all night long, this is what he did. He said, Satan, I command you to come out of her in the name of Jesus. Satan, I command you to come out of her in the name of Jesus. And of course, the devil's going to resist and you know all of the things that he does. But he said, Satan, I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. But the other thing that he did, all night long, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. Over and over and over, at midnight, at 1 o'clock, at 2 a.m, at 3 a.m, Satan, you've got to come out. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, over and over and over again. They came in for breakfast about 7 a.m. Here's this girl, completely delivered, completely healed, completely in her right mind, completely in her senses, because somebody knew of the preciousness of the blood of Jesus and was available to take the stand based on that blood for the freedom of somebody who needed delivered. Come on. Are we available? Start talking about the blood. Start thinking about the blood. Start applying the blood. And we're going to talk even more about that. How do I plead the blood? We're going to talk about that next week. Did you get anything this morning? Hallelujah. If I could have the worship team come up, we're going to pray and we're going to dismiss. And if you need prayer for anything this morning, come on up after we dismiss. But listen, if you're watching online, if you're here in the room, and you've never really applied the blood of Jesus to your heart. And the way that you do that is that you just say, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe Jesus was that Messiah. And so, Lord, I'm laying my life down for you here today. I am no longer living for me, but I'm going to live for you. And I apply the blood of Jesus to my heart. It doesn't matter if you're 3 years old or 93 years old. That prayer will make you right with God. So let's just pray together right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice that was made for me. I receive by faith the blood of Jesus to cleanse my sin. I take that blood upon myself. I'm free from condemnation. I am free from guilt, and I am free to worship you. I believe in my heart, so I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord, and that just God, as you've raised him from the dead, I'm also raised. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Father, bless all those that need prayer this morning for physical body, for healing, Lord, for deliverance. Thank you for the blood in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Go ahead, guys. And if you need prayer, there'll be people up here to pray for you in Jesus' name.